From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I am Farai Chidea. The votes are in. Hillary Clinton wins narrowly in Indiana. Barack Obama sweeps North Carolina by a double-digit margin, and the ripple effects are already making headlines. This morning, former presidential candidate and former Senator George McGovern switched sides and urged Senator Clinton to drop out of the race. To break down the state of the race, we have NPR senior Washington editor Ron Elving. Hey, Ron.
Good day to you, Farai.
So, some people say a win is a win, no matter what. Hillary Clinton took Indiana by a 3-point margin. Let's listen to her from last night's speech in Indianapolis.
Not too long ago, my opponent made a prediction. He said I would probably win Pennsylvania. He would win North Carolina. And Indiana would be the tiebreaker. Tonight, we've come from behind. We've broken the tie, and thanks to you, it's full speed onto the White House.
So, Ron, you know, how important was this victory?
I think if she had not eked out a very small victory, about 22,000 votes in Indiana, she probably would have had absolutely no rationale for continuing her campaign today. It is very difficult to imagine how she could go to the superdelegates after as disappointing a night as she had last night if it had been, in a sense, symbolized as even more disappointing by not getting the W in Indiana. But that is the way politics works. It's a little bit like sports. You know, 1 point in a basketball game in which 200 points are scored determines who is the winner and who is the loser. And in this particular case of Indiana, she managed to hold on. Now, does that take away all the headlines this morning that were focused on North Carolina, a much larger state, a top 10 population state, where Barack Obama won by 14 points, by 230,000 votes? No, that will still be the dominant impression from this particular day in the primaries. And the Clinton forces had been hoping for a very different scenario out of this day.
Now, she says she's full speed ahead, but she just lent $6.4 million to her campaign over the past month. There's six more contests coming up. Will she even be able to get the funds to go the distance?
I think she will be able to get the funds to go the distance for this reason, that the six remaining events are not going to be terribly expensive. West Virginia and Kentucky and Puerto Rico are not particularly expensive places for her to win because she's already well ahead in all three, and she'll be able to bring those into her column. At the same time, South Dakota, Montana, and Oregon, only Oregon is expensive in those three, but it looks difficult for her to overcome the advantages Barack Obama has in those states. In other words, there's not a great deal of suspense about the remaining six events, and they have between them only a little over 200 delegates available. So there are now more superdelegates out, about 270, than there are regular pledged delegates to be won in these events. Last night was really the last major primary night.
Now, when we talk about that magic number where one person outright wins the nomination, is it mathematically possible at this point that either of them could hit the magic number?
Not without superdelegates, of course. And the new strategy from the Clinton forces, of course, is to argue that the magic number is not the magic number, that 2025 is not what one will need to be nominated, but rather a much higher number, which assumes Florida and Michigan will be seated. Well, Florida and Michigan probably will in the end be seated, but not along the formula of delegate allocation lines that the Clinton people would like. What will happen is there will be a split that will not make that much difference to Hillary Clinton, and therefore the number 2025 is still pretty much the number.
Now, as I mentioned just this morning, former presidential candidate and former Clinton supporter George McGovern switched his endorsement to Barack Obama, called for Hillary Clinton to withdraw from the race. What's the significance of his statement?
It's probably not going to change very many people's minds, but it may signal the beginning of a movement on the part of, if you will, the elder statespersons of the Democratic Party toward this new position of saying, you know, whether I liked Hillary Clinton or I liked Barack Obama, it's now time to set that aside and get a nominee. And we do have a candidate who's closing in on the nomination, and the only means by which the other candidate could deny him that nomination are just not things we want to think about.
All right, Ron. Thanks so much.
My pleasure, Farai.
That was NPR senior Washington editor Ron Elving, and he joined me at our headquarters in Washington, D.C.